Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, y'all, welcome back to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison, joined always by my co-hosts, Chris Epps and Mike McGoy. Another eventful week in the markets. What up, fellas?
No joke. It's been nonstop since we last talked, it feels like. Every day, something new.
Every day. I have a new moniker I wanted to bring out to you guys, Elmer Fred. I'm a 50. Cutting off NFT projects. DeFi projects are getting flooded also.
But in all the protocols.
Hey man, and what else am I flooding also? Oh yeah, digital real estate.
Oh, digital real estate.
Come
yeah.
to the front of the line, digital real estate.
Yeah, it's a housing crash everywhere, ain't it?
That chart is filthy.
That was, yeah, that's a good one. Nice round trip. You know, everyone makes round trips, it seems like. I'm going to make a round trip. Kathy Woods makes round trips.
It's like that, Chris, you seen that meme. What kind of curve is that? Is it a Laffer curve? I don't know what that curve is. Where there's like the Neanderthal on one side, oh, and then
the
like
IQ.
The super smart guy on the other side. Mm-hmm. Is saying,
and the then same. Like the somewhat smart guy in the middle.
Yeah,
the IQ curve.
Yeah,
you can be a bonehead and then also be a genius, and you know because you're a genius that boneheads will buy the bonehead thing, or you can overanalyze everything and be in the middle of the curve. Missing out because you think too hard, like me.
Right.
Yeah.
Just don't think, just do it. Live in the moment.
Live in the moment, man.
Very applicable. Buy all the ape shit, whatever ape anything is coming out.
No, they're starting to actually get some all the flack that we've been talking about. It's ramping up. I'm seeing it ramp up more. I'm seeing there's like a puff piece by this company called Input, which ironically, Ryder Rips, the guy who's doing the campaign against Bored Ape Yacht Club, that he founded and like left. There's like some puff pieces trying to save him. There's an article that they did an interview recently within the last week, or it was published within the last week, saying that they know that, you know, all that Nazi stuff that they were kind of memeing, it's all a meme. Mm-hmm. It's a joke to them. You know, it's not real.
Yeah, that's
what they said, basically, or it's their past and they ignore it. Pretty funny.
But wait a minute, it's not real in reference to like they don't take it seriously, or it wasn't mm-hmm. real.
It's a joke to them. Yeah.
So the Nazi stuff was a joke to them.
The Nazi and the story, the weird Nazi fan fiction that they used to write on 4chan or whatever these forums back in the day is a joke. You know, these references in the apes apparently are just, you know, joke, funny thing. That they didn't think it was going to be taken so seriously, even though they pumped their bags to help and had marketing. And
yeah, they didn't think it was going to be taken seriously. Uh-huh,
yeah, sure. It's crazy.
So basically a bad joke.
Yeah.
And bad jokes all the time.
It's like when a comedian has a bad joke.
Exactly. And bad jokes get written off by bad comedians as just, oh, you're just actually a racist. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah.
I love Kramer to death, but when Kramer on stage, you know what I mean, screaming nigger a million times, I was like, yeah, I don't know actually about you anymore.
Right. That wasn't even a joke. That was not a joke.
That was pure rage. Yeah, that was
some shit he was just trying to scream out for like the last few years, it sounds like.
Yeah,
but you can fall back on that same narrative where, oh, this was a joke, I was on stage, that was a joke.
Yeah, he did use that, huh?
No, I don't. No, he didn't. He apologized. You know, that was really ugly for his career at that time. So, but I feel the sentiment of what Mike's saying. The example might not be the best one, but definitely, you know, people tell bad jokes and they just write it off, even though that might be their true sentiment.
It's a great excuse.
Well, I want to get to what I believe is the biggest news of the week. BlackRock teaming up with Coinbase. Really looking bad for my fuck Coinbase marketing.
Mm-hmm. And scheme. What Coin is up right now too, right?
Yeah.
You and Kathy Woods, baby. Y'all are just great. Y'all got some great ass moves.
Great. Well, I mean, I didn't sell the bottom like she did. I'm not that bad. I sold the middle, but
you FUDded the bottom.
No. I FUDded the bottom hard. So this article published by Bloomberg, BlackRock teams up with Coinbase and crypto market expansion. BlackRock Inc. is partnering with Coinbase Global Inc. to make it easier for institutional investors to manage and trade Bitcoin. taking the world's largest asset manager into a cryptocurrency market hammered by plunging prices and government investigations. Coinbase surged 15% to $92.61 at 120 in New York. Partnership with BlackRock provides some relief for the biggest U.S. crypto trading platform, whose stock had lost more than two-thirds of its value this year through Wednesday.
Right. So now it's only down 50%?
Yeah.
Whoopie fucking do.
Yeah.
I think it's... They've already been kind of looking for their way in. It feels like, are they looking for their official way in, like an official on-ramp type move? Mm-hmm. This seems like it makes sense. It's good timing for them. Perfect timing for them.
So do we think any of this activity has been priced into the market yet? The anticipation of this activity? Or was this kind of catching people off guard? Because I didn't hear a lot about this before it was announced. Like many of the other crypto deals, I feel like we hear about for months, or the crypto deals that never happened, we hear about forever, Apple buying Bitcoin and things like that. But I didn't really hear much about this. What do you think about?
I don't know. I think you only hear rumors, like when you hear about stuff before. Like, this makes sense for me not hearing about it beforehand. I feel like, you know, the Apple example was like a pretty telegraphed and like clickbaity thing, although they still are working on stuff, but it's just they don't say what or what it is. And BlackRock being silent kind of makes sense in general,
right? What do you think about them getting in during the bear market versus them buying the top like everybody else? Do you think that they have made this decision, you know, two or three quarters ago, and we're just like, oh, we're just gonna wait until till it drops so we can
that. Yeah.
If they have Chartist, yeah.
Yeah.
If they have any type of team that does any type of chart reading, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, this has dropped 80%, 90%, 80%.
Yeah.
This is gonna happen again.
Right.
If we do believe in this, then we're going to wait for the next one and then just double dutch our way in, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, some say that it's not the bottom, some say it is, but regardless, they got a good entry point is what they kind of feel.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably doubling down is what it is, too.
They
probably bought the top. Right. They're already in crypto.
Yeah.
Now, this is another way to double down, get some leverage.
Right.
Yeah,
dollar cost average down. Don't double down.
Yeah.
Don't market buy when you're in the red, please. Trust me.
But I was gonna say, I've been kind of surprised by the lack of attention that this deal has gotten in mainstream financial legacy media.
Yeah. Facts. I agree. Yeah, I agree, Mike.
The market watches, you know, no one reported on this really, or it was a blip at the bottom of the page.
Yeah, there's much more important or much bigger news, it felt like the day after.
But I disagree. I think this news is huge. And I think this is probably the biggest news for crypto and Bitcoin. I mean, this is probably top 10 for me. I mean, this is literally the
world. For you, but you know what the biggest news is? Michael Saylor fucking quitting the job to go full time.
No, I don't.
See, come on, Jason.
Jason, we're talking about a company that handles $10 trillion in assets with BlackRock versus one man, Michael Saylor, who's a glorified Bitcoin maxi, which is like, okay, this is great. We love Michael Saylor in the space. I mean, I do, you know, for whatever, people who are Bitcoin enthusiasts, but I don't think any one person is that important versus $10 trillion jumping into the market and doing so, you know, telling us like you said, Chris, they've already been buying and been involved and invested and probably been telling their clients for months. This is just them putting a news article out about it. I think that's way bigger than Michael Saylor changing the title on his fucking nameplate on the door in his building. Like,
yes, but don't forget who you think it's better, but you are at the market. The market always decides. The market's always right. And that's
the market is all,
like
always
the, right. The point of news, like this is important news. It's actually the reason why probably we are such a stable rate. And it's been priced in. I was going to enter that. It feels like it's probably already priced in. And now we're hearing about it.
I disagree. I feel like we're going to see a jump in the way that we saw last year at some point. I don't know when it's going to come. You know, it might be September.
I think we're gonna
jump back to mid-30s. Maybe not on the specific news, but because of the money that's being plunged with, you know, all of this capital.
But that's the thing. Hold on, man. You mentioned now that a very large number that they might have under their balance sheet, but they're not allocating all of that to Bitcoin.
No, nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying they're spending $10 trillion on Bitcoin. I'm not saying they're spending 1% of that. I'm just saying that they've...
That's where I'm going. Yeah. They might not spend 5% of that, because ultimately, like, these are still portfolio managers that have to make sure that, you know, their clients are happy. I'm sure they have... Look, they'll obviously dump a ton in, but I don't even think that they can create a bottom, honestly, even with that move.
Right.
And I'm still banking off of the fact that, like, looking at the macroeconomic factors here are weighing much larger than the $1 trillion, which is huge, market cap that's crypto.
Right.
There are $15 trillion at play here across the board. And a lot of that has to deal with even still coming off of these, like, S&P stocks. These tech stocks still have to do something.
Yeah.
And so as long as Bitcoin is still tracing that, then, man, I don't know what's going to happen until we even see a decoupling from the tech stocks, which I don't see happening anytime soon, especially as these larger BlackRock types of institutions jump into the play now. It's going to only move even more like a tech stock.
Right. I feel you. I agree with that.
So what happens then when the Dow is now at 25,000, 22,000? What is that going to do to Bitcoin?
Wait, what?
What happens if we see a 21,000 Dow?
Why would we see it?
18,000 Dow.
Why would we see that?
Because that's what happened last recession.
Mm.
We went from 17,000 down to 8,500. When Barack took office, we were like 9,000.
Right. Well, I'm saying we're in a different space now. I mean,
the
numbers
are larger, which means they're gonna come off the board larger as well.
Yeah, exponentially. Yeah, that's the thing.
It's how numbers work.
No, yeah. I understand that and I agree with that. I find it hard to believe that we're going south of where we crashed for COVID, which is 19.
I don't know. 19. Yeah, I mean, as of today, we got the monkeypox federal emergency, national emergency announcement. You know, I don't know, Doug. I'm waiting for that new PPP, MPP, whatever they call it.
That MPP.
I'm signing up. I learned my lesson. I was pussy last time. I'm signing up. I have businesses.
Yeah, I think
flush with cash.
I think it's kind of I don't know the word I'm looking for, but anticipating another exact pandemic or pandemic or another situation to replicate itself, whether that's in the market or otherwise, like, I just don't think it's wise. I'll just say it like that. Like, what's in the middle of a bull and a bear? You know, that's where I'm at. Like, I don't think it's wise to predict the downfall and be doom and gloom and say, oh, 20,000 Dow, 20,000, 22,000 Dow. I don't think it's wise to say it's going to 36 either.
You said Bitcoin going to 30K.
Yeah, I mean, it can right, rain.
So it's cool to put NASDAQ K for Bitcoin, but then not for the Dow.
Yeah.
No. But I don't think that's But what I'm saying is that's a range for Bitcoin. I don't think that I didn't say like, oh, Bitcoin's going to 80,000. Like, and I didn't say it was going to 12. I think
not this year.
I think 20 to 35, 23 to 35 is like a median range. Like, that's how I look at it.
That's what you feel, right?
Yeah,
I do agree with that. And I agree with that.
And that's all I'm saying is that that's just my sentiment. I'm not
okay. And I feel that we could have a monkeypox
Right, crash. There you go. There you go.
But I don't think we will. I don't believe. I don't want us to.
Right.
But every day it's just like, oh, maybe this is the little, you know.
So Mike,
back again, two more.
Mike, you think we're going down? But like, what's your, what do you think is the event that is going to spur the downturn, or that we're in the event?
We're in the event. One, yeah. We're in the event, and I feel like part of the gift of living where we live, and also the curses, we're extremely kind of sheltered from the real winds of the real world.
Yeah.
Especially looking at my own country, right?
Yeah.
So let me just read some of the headlines of the articles that have been coming out that we've been sending to our clients.
Okay.
And this is from MarketWatch. Dramatic increase. Foreclosure filings up more than 150%. From this month to last month, up 219% since the start of the year.
Foreclosures.
Let me read another article.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
German retail sales crash, the most on record, as Europe now slumps into recession. This is the Financial Times.
Right.
Germany is the strongest economy in the EU.
Okay.
So for them to be slumping into a recession based off of their numbers now,
right,
it only shows you that this is going to affect the world.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, what we do know is everyone's too leveraged up in the stock market. That's been the case for a very long time now. So it's not far-fetched to see 20-30% come off the board.
Right. And so you think with that is going to be a lot of margins, and then people are getting squoze, and then the number falls faster?
Because no one is happy with just the regular 5% return.
Right.
So you have to margin it. You have to do 9x margin on it.
Yeah.
20x margin or whatever the house of lettuce at this point. And so, man, everyone's levered up, bro.
Yeah.
Everyone's levered up long. And now, anyway, so that's one as well.
Yeah.
Let me run another one that we've been sending out. Stocks post Fed bounce is a trap. And this was Morgan Stanley just this week.
Yeah.
June low, not the final move for bear market.
Yeah.
Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson.
Right.
So this is not over, says the smart motherfuckers in the room.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just following them.
Right. Okay. So,
right. Then he says this bear market may be getting close to an end, but needs to have that quote unquote final move. And I don't think that June low is the final move.
What have I been saying about the bear market in crypto? Same thing. There's probably one last bastion.
Right.
And that's because they move together.
Yeah.
Okay. But let me ask you this, Mike. Would they tell you when the final move happened? These smart people. Would they come out and say, this is the bottom? What is the next thing that they're going to tell the public?
It's always after the fact.
That's what I'm saying. So what is their next message? Is it that?
It depends on who you're asking and what they're trying to sell you, ultimately, right? Morgan Stanley's in the business of selling stocks.
Right.
So it's not in their best interest to tell you that the market's not good.
Right.
If you ask me, this is someone being extremely conservative.
Right. So, but that's what my question is. Just if you're trying to help guide me or other people through the market, right? This is their message right now. And you're kind of saying like, they're actually telling us the right thing, right? Or that to anticipate more ugliness, but more pain, right? But then what is their next message? If you were to try to anticipate their next message, is it 6 months from now saying the pain is over, you know, hopefully things are going to tick back up, or are they going to wait until we get into a bull market and then start prognosticating again? Like,
but that's the beauty of media.
Yeah.
Whether it be financial or crypto or sports, there's new opinions daily. And so, yeah, someone's going to have a new opinion.
Yeah.
Right. But I focus more on the sentiment of the room.
Yeah.
Not necessarily one person telling me this is going to happen or that's going to happen. When the sentiment of the room by all the large banks, by the heads of the large banks are like, hey, we got more pain in store here, guys. Batten down the hatches. Who am I to say, well, you know what? Actually, I listened to this one crypto podcast. And Jason said he feels that the bottom is in.
Yeah. Right. I listened to this one crypto podcast and Mike says that the bottom is not in because he's listening to the sentiment of the room. Like, that's the beauty of listening to our podcast.
That's the difference, though. That's the difference where I actually get to pull third party. This is the purpose of third party information. I get to say, hey, I get to rely on the perspective of the chief investment officer, Robuni, for his capital, and say, Bloomberg published this. These are all reputable firms that obviously have done well for themselves.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is, when I'm hearing this from 3 and 4 and 5 and 7 out of the top 10 players, you're like, well, maybe there's something here.
Right. I guess part of my... where I get my decision on where I believe the market is going is based on your decision, Chris's decision, everybody else who I see, you know, on Twitter and stuff. And also the bank's prior prognostication and their prior thoughts of, you know,
so Jason, we're talking about probably like $1 million max. Not even, by the way, not even.
$1 million.
We're talking about the movements of $1 million. Compared to the movements of $500 billion, if not trillions.
What do you mean?
All the people that you see on Twitter and know.
No. What I'm saying,
they're not making any deposits or any purchases.
I'm talking about. I'm looking at the same art. I'm on Twitter. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about all the publications or, you know, whoever, like Raul Paul or. You know, all the Jason William, all the people that you like and the people that we look at in the crypto space, in addition to the other financial people, in addition to whatever the Bloomberg or Forbes or, you know what I'm saying, all the other publications, in addition to the fucking whale trackers and, you know, all of that stuff. So that, but what I was going to say was, in addition to that, also, I look at the other side of what have they told me before. In terms of the banks and, you know, JP Morgan lying about their involvement in crypto, or, you know, like saying it's going to, Bitcoin's going to 164,000 last year or whatever, like they will prognosticate, and they will all also reach a sentiment, and they can all also be wrong at the same time. Not saying that I'm right, but I'm saying, like, I don't know. And so I approach the double Dutch with hesitancy, you know what I'm saying? Of, are they tricking me? Are, because they love a good rug. They love to rug the public. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the thing, is that what you're saying is true. They are moving the big money, and they're having conversations with each other about moving the big money and which way it's going to go. And definitely, I just feel like they're not ever really telling us the truth. That's kind of the feeling I get. And we kind of have to figure out for ourselves, you know?
And so. I appreciate that. And I would just say, as with anything else, when anyone has any kind of something coming out of their mouth or anything to sell you or tell you, you have to honestly ask yourself, what is their purpose in telling me this?
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
And for these guys at this point now, it's not about, oh, I got this right, you know, give me a pat on the back. It's, look, I've been right now for years.
Yeah.
That's why I'm worth billions of dollars and you're not.
Yeah.
Because I've been right for a long time.
Yep.
No, so for sure. That's why I listen to the guys who have been right for a very long time. And we all watch sports, right? For sure. Obviously, I'm going to use this analogy. I only listen to like 2 to 3 guys in reference to their opinion on basketball.
Right.
Even though all these guys are on SportsCenter all day talking to Stephen A. Smith on First Take, on this, on that. Like, I'm only listening to the opinions of probably 2 to 3 guys max, honest to God.
Yeah.
And it's the same, bro. Like, it's a whole bunch of noise, a whole bunch of people who are talking. That's cool. But what's their real intention and what's their track record like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why Ralph Paul does so well. He's able to stand on his track record because he's like, look, I'm like a legitimate macro economist who's been watching world markets and betting on them at a very high space.
Right.
So I live on my own island.
He seems like the least emotional person in crypto Twitter. But
he has to be, because he's trained himself to be that way. He cannot be an emotional trader. He will go broke very fast.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like the tide has turned away from him in some regards, from some people that, you know, I see on Twitter. Again, I don't know enough about Ralph Paul. I find a lot of the stuff he says interesting, and I follow him. The way I follow a lot of these other guys. But
Ralph Paul might be honestly one of the more accredited and I want to say probably accomplished voices on Twitter.
Yeah.
Money-wise.
Right.
Yeah.
I think
has legitimate receipts.
Yeah. I think people were, you know, upset. And by and large, most people are upset with anybody who was basically trying to shill any altcoin. You know, I think he might have been somebody who was pushing Solana or another
Ethereum.
Yeah, I think he was heavy in Ethereum. He was heavy in
Ethereum, bro. Yeah. He's pushing ETH.
Yeah.
So the BitMEXes have a fucking tantrum because he's saying that something else is also a decent investment, just numbers wise.
Right.
Yeah.
Just numbers wise. And I wanted to touch on that one. Did you guys see the video? It's probably old, but Michael Saylor talking about Ethereum.
No,
yeah,
I didn't.
I didn't see it.
Come on, y'all didn't see that?
I gotta watch that one. Yeah, Chris seen it.
Like when he goes like high tone, like his voice starts squeaking.
And he was like really in his feelings about it, and it's like, it's like, okay, again, he's the guy who is so smart and looking at how the watch works. He's missing just the huge price run up.
Yeah, yeah. He could have put both on their sheets, and then he would probably still have that job and still do full time crypto because he's still full time crypto, acting like he's not full time crypto when he quit. He's like, I'm gonna just go full time Bitcoin now. Like, bro,
that means that he's lost enough people their money too that they no longer are trusting his word, man. That's, come on, think about it like this, bro. You just gave this man, it's his job to collect money from you. You then gave him millions of dollars. He then lost them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
bro, it's not like I need to talk to you, bro. Like that's, and then there's pressure on you. That there's huge amounts of pressure on him. for losing right. their capital.
Right. I mean, capital. I mean, this, but it's not over yet either, you know, and like,
it's not.
That's
not how investors think, bro.
I lost
you 50% of your money, but just stick in there a little bit longer and we'll probably get it back like next year.
Right. And that's, if you guys have seen The Big Short, that's basically what happens to Michael Burry throughout the movie. You know, he's ahead of this hedge fund and he's got billions of dollars that he's managing and he's betting on the housing market to fall, which had never happened. And, you know, he's right in the percentage that he's down on his trade, basically on his whiteboard. And I think I forgot what they got down. It was like negative 294% or something crazy. And, you know, then the next day he writes plus 1,000 or whatever it was, you know, like a percent or something crazy. You know, when the market crashed, and of course he made everybody rich. So,
and so for Saylor to get everyone rich, then Bitcoin would have to do what?
Probably have to 10x from here, which is not impossible.
No, it's not impossible. But what's the likelihood of that happening next year?
Yeah, no. I mean,
that's a better question, though.
Like, yeah. To be honest,
will the Dow get to 100,000? Yeah, at some point, for sure.
Yeah,
right.
But when?
Yeah, I think Bitcoin will get to 100,000 faster than the Dow because of its reflexivity or whatever the fuck, the way it moves.
I think so too, by the way.
It could be soon, but it's definitely, no one wants to wait 3 or 4 years after all of that shit you did for the last year. Like if it was, if they came in 3 or 4 years ago and kind of like came in at a time where things were like, you know, calmer, if it was a bear market, waiting those 2 or 3 years is different. Like he put the gas in everyone's tank. Like people who didn't fuck with him, people who don't fuck with him now, we still all kind of got even more bullish just when he started fucking screaming and hollering. And yeah, that shit will piss people off. That's why I don't talk about prices and I don't talk about what to buy anymore, except for whales of ether on OpenSea.
But that's the main difference. And I would say, Chris, there's a large difference there, though. You're not soliciting clients, telling them that you're going to give them greater returns than what they're receiving in other markets.
Yeah.
Give me your money.
Everyone I've actually had to trade for, I told them it's going to all go, it might all go away. So. Yeah. Listen and remember? No. And
no, so no.
That pitch is different, though. That's a different pitch. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's a different pitch, bro. And then you also, again, have to be accountable for their money. And anyone who's ever had to manage someone else's money will tell you, you don't sleep well when your clients are losing money. Fuck you losing money. Fuck you losing your job. You don't even care about that.
Yeah.
You hurt more for your clients losing their money.
Yep.
Because they trusted you.
Right. Well, depending on if you're a sociopath or not. I mean, obviously, a lot of people who get into finance are and they're fucking crazy.
Nah, bro.
I mean.
Like, they're trained human beings. Don't get me wrong. They're emotionally trained human beings. But they're still human beings.
You know what people need to start investing in is hackers. Start investing in some of these.
I need to invest in some bots, man. Years now. I need to get some bots.
Yeah, you get some bots or some shit. Like, you know, you can. I told you guys about this thing that happened this Monday about an exploit found, and some hacker found out that there was an issue with a bridge on the Ethereum like chain.
Explain that,
bro. There's chains that are basically like Ethereum altcoins. You hear about them all the time. BNB, ADA, blah, blah, blah. They have DeFi stuff. Terra is another one. You have to put these money on these bridges, and these bridges are not safe. On Monday, an exploit was found. A guy just was fucking around with the code in this application called Nomad, and he found out a way to drain the money from the bridge. A bridge holds coins. Mm-hmm. in its coffers, so that way you can easily swap from Ethereum to this other chain or swap from that chain back to Ethereum. Mm-hmm. So they have their own coffers. No one lost money except for the actual group of people, maybe some people during transactions, but there's a problem. Some transactions were getting spoofed, and a guy figured out how to spoof them himself. Took like 250 or something. Took like a I think he took like over 100 million or some shit like that. I don't remember exact numbers. They ended up losing all their money because everyone was watching this happen. And what a lot of people would do is try to copy and paste the same transactions and codes. And it was found out that you could just copy and paste this code. So for like an hour and 30 minutes, you could like easily get $1 million if you're paying attention and copying and pasting. And just
$1 million from who?
From this. You could train. You're stealing. It's a code thing. That's the weird thing about all this shit. It's like, bro, you fucked up your code. And it's supposed to be a risky thing, so the risk is on everyone.
But that's what I'm saying. Whose money is it that's sitting there?
It's the group's money. It's the Nomad Bridge. Nomad Bridge is what it's called.
So it's a company?
Yes. Or app.
So they have all of their funds in a bridge. I don't understand how any of this works.
So they have stuff. And so that you can swap with their pool from one chain to another chain. Mm-hmm. They hold the pool of stuff and that pool of stuff so that you can easily swap without having to wait for your coins to physically, like that exact coin to be bridged over. They have the pools of stuff and they fucking
took the bank. Yeah, this is way too complicated and complex. I don't get involved in any of this super hacker, Chris level nerd stuff.
I don't know how to do it. I've never hacked anyone. I am not associated with this.
I didn't say that you were, and I don't want anybody to think that you are, but you understand. But
for an hour and a half, I wish I was at my computer. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But
we saw probably a couple hundred people just figuring it out and copy and pasting their address. And
so then what happens? You're telling me that people, 100 people, 200 people, stole $1 million and then that's it.
It's like, varying. Varying. It's but a cyber like crime.
It's a cyber crime. Yeah.
It's a cyber crime, I think.
But so people aren't able to track IPs or anything.
They're able to, but they're not going to do anything. There's white hat hackers that were doing the same thing. Like they were draining it to try to save the funds, to return the funds and get a reward. And so you know that's pretty nice to people. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
if a job.
If I was a cyber hacker and I got a mill, I would throw my computer in the Pacific Ocean.
That's not gonna help. Because they're gonna see you take that plane ticket, carry that shit over to the ocean, take that.
No, we live in L.A.
I'm going to Dockweiler. Catalina. Come on.
I'm going to Dockweiler and chucking that shit like Tom Brady.
You gotta go further.
Oh,
but yeah, so yeah, you can invest into learning how to code.
No interest in doing any type of criminal activity whatsoever. I don't want to be trying to do anything because I feel the same way about digital crime as I feel about any other crime. Like if you rob somebody, or if you whatever you do, I feel like it's gonna come back to you. That's why I would feel like it would be crazy, like people like killing people and doing all that stuff. Like yes, you could do it. Yes, you could rob a bank. Yes, you could rob, a house or whatever. But I would never feel safe in a house. You know, I would feel like somebody would. Yeah, I would feel like somebody was coming to kill me. Like, and that would be the same a cybercrime.
If your house is in the Maldives now, and no one can find you, and you burnt your passport.
But what's the point of living a life if you can't live fully
enjoy
it? Yeah, and fully enjoy it. I mean,
want to live on that island. You learn to code and become a white hat hacker. That's the
Oh yeah, no,
I pay as well.
Yeah, I guess if you want to be a Robin Hood, that's a good thing. You know, people wanting to rescue the money for others. I mean, shout outs to them. But speaking of that, Solana had another hack.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Our weekly Solana hack.
Not the hackathon. It's just they need more hackathons, that's for sure. But dude, that was an interesting one to wake up to.
Yeah, so they had thousands of wallets were drained, millions of dollars.
Through the iOS apps of one was called Strobe or something I never really heard of, and then Phantom, which is one of the biggest ones.
Yes,
the iOS phone apps that were all drained, not like the desktop wallets or hard wallets or cold storage wallets that are used for Solana.
Mm-hmm.
Just the easy, everyone just wants the app, and that's what happens. Everyone wants it on their phone.
Like, I'm trying to read this thread that a guy posted in relation to it, and I don't understand half the stuff that he's talking about.
How they do the calls and the calling functions and shit.
Yeah.
What it is basically, the TLDR is your phone isn't safe. Like, all this shit on the cloud services is not safe to put your investments on. I'd say that as a person who's done it and still hasn't been fucked with, but I know it's not safe and people should not, especially when you have a good amount of money. Usually whenever I had done a good trade or made a good amount of money or bought something that I felt like was worth something for real and I want to hold on to it or want to be safe, I put it on my cold storage. But a lot of people, especially new people, are specifically in Solana because it's cheaper and they're told all this stuff and you can do all these things and the apps are integratable to your phone. But Solana's apps have been proven not to be that great and not that safe. Everyone that gets big has an issue or gets hacked. I mean, at least Solana stayed up during the hack. It was live the whole time.
It was shut
down. You know, so they're doing something right now, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. They seem very vulnerable, and they haven't been able to solve any of their vulnerability issues on their chain.
It is too constant.
Yeah.
I mean, and also there's hacks on it. There's things that get hacked on Ethereum all the time, shit like that, but nothing like what this is. It's not like an infrastructure or you don't really hear about wallets getting hacked like that and not in this way. It's another reason to keep everything on, keep your keys and keep it offline.
So what the fuck is up with this Mark Zuckerberg kid picture of him playing baseball? I mean, are you guys?
I have no idea. What is that? That sounds sus.
I don't know. It says Instagram is expanding NFTs internationally. Is integrating Coinbase and Dapper. So yep. I guess they're allowing people to maybe purchase NFTs on Instagram. I don't know, but
I think you can make NFTs on Instagram.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg shared a photo of himself as a young boy playing baseball, and
as a young lad.
I was not really sure is he supposed to be like Barry Bonds or so? Like, is his card supposed to be worth something now? His NFT card? Like a
baseball card?
Yeah, it's like a baseball card. Like, it's supposed to be like the what's my nigga with the little Cracker Jack one that was worth millions of dollars? Onus or something. But anyway.
Yeah, no, I did read about this right before the pod. It was just announced, I guess, today. I saw the announcements for the last few weeks on and off, or saw talks about it. Instagram announced that they're going to integrate the stuff. Yeah, I believe they are allowing creators to make mint NFTs on Instagram.
Okay, so what it says is that Zuckerberg, 38, signed his own Little League baseball card in 1992 and 30 years later will go up for auction. The tech giant gave former camp counselor Ali Tarantino the card as a gift, and Tarantino is putting the card on the market. My part of the story is over with, Tarantino said in an auction's press release video. So, due to Mark's prominence in the tech world, I figured now is a good time to sell this card and put it on the market. So I guess he's trying to sell this card as an NFT.
How much?
Listen, I don't care what you're saying. All I know is they just missed their quarterly earnings estimates again for two quarters in a row now.
Yeah.
Causing their stock to fall. They're trying to find anything and everything to do now. His bet on the metaverse hasn't paid off just yet. We saw the declining metaverse real estate values.
And TikTok literally is coming for that ass too.
Man, literally tanking. And so, man, they're trying to do anything and everything right now just to keep the stock price going up or the thing to go up.
Yeah, they're literally trying to copy TikTok, trying to take everything that they can from all the apps that are still alive. It was like that aren't them. The NFT thing is very makes sense for what the app is. It's just, you know. I like the timing. They're doing it in the bear market. Shit like that makes me feel good. I'm like, hey, they're doing it when everyone has kind of left. And that's that building in the bear thing that kind of makes me bullish on projects. Mm-hmm. No matter who it is, like any celebrity I see talking about NFTs right now is going to be like, okay, you got some clout, still, you still have some balls.
Yeah, I've started to track some of my favorite NFT projects and their floor. The floors are continuously dropping. Some are below mint. Chris, what do you think about Dead Fellas?
It could be a good buy.
That's actually probably the cheapest of the projects of anything that I think is worthwhile. A lot of celebrities have them. OBJ
collabs with Bobby,
Bill, Bill Murray. Yeah, they got collabs with the hundreds. And I think their floor is underneath one ETH right now. But
it's a good project.
It's 0.89 ETH. And I think they're all right, in terms
buy
of
it.
Buy it. Buy it. Buy it. All do right. It. Mike, what do you think?
I shouldn't have said that.
Hell no.
Mike officially changed his PFP, bro. He's out.
He's out.
He sold the bottom. He's out.
I was the last one holding. That's what I'm saying. Listen, I wasn't getting any extra love for holding on to my PFP in the middle of a down market.
Right.
I got no extra clout for that.
No, you did. You did.
Did I? Did I get some extra crypto strikes?
Yeah, you get extra clout where it matters. You see, like, don't forget about this general mass media and what they think. It's the kids who are sweating on their keyboards for 12 hours a day, not getting up. What they think is what matters. Mm. And to them, you're a vet now.
Right. Yeah, but some of these Dead Fellas are all right. I don't hate them.
Yeah, I like them better than Cool Cats. Like
you like them better than Cool Cats?
Yeah, for sure. I think the art, like art wise, like I like the idea better than Cool Cats. Yeah, Cool Cats is kind of cool.
Cute. It's kind of cool. Well, yeah, I might get it. Depending on how my pockets are looking, I might wait until like.
Which horse is racing this week? What you got?
Wait till the NFL season gets in full swing and see how. Oh. See how I'm doing.
No.
Oh no. No, I was really gonna say around Halloween, because those are they look kind of Halloween themed. So
that was so much fucked up on when they were minting. Yeah, and or after they had minted, they were out. I was like looking at them, I was like, oh, this is a perfect Halloween thing. And of course, all of the Halloween looking spooky stuff, ghoulish things all pumped up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's so it might be a good buy right now in anticipation for Halloween. And then, that might be a time for a pump for Dead Fellas. And then that might be a time to sell.
And like you said, you got to remember all the past things that you've been through and didn't do and did. And it sounds like coming around full circle right now.
Yep. So, yes.
He's on the elliptical right now.
Yeah,
just legs pumping left and right, arms pumping to the same side as the leg. He's going hard, and not going anywhere.
Where no inches have been.
No inches.
This is week four of your floor watch.
If you don't just buy ETH and sit the fuck down, bro.
Okay. Yeah, you could just buy a bunch of ETH. We've seen now for the last 4 weeks, three weeks.
No, that's the right thing, honestly. And that's really what
we've been on this talking about ETH at $800, bro.
I know, that's crazy, right? It's doubled since.
You feel me? Your fucking NFT is not going to double, bro.
Yeah.
Not right now.
It's always
Mike. It will. It'll go up 10x when we're not ready for it.
Exactly.
For an hour or like a day.
Yeah, you can catch the 7x or whatever like when it drops down 3 ETH.
But then you know what I mean? Then like someone then figures out that they got boozled, so they then just start dumping them or until the next person decides to dump all this.
Or there's a scandal or something. Yeah.
I'm still following our guy from our block, Kleberman.
I forgot his fucking name.
Really? Yeah, this cocksucker. Because I actually really like art.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, he actually is like known in the space.
I know.
He's like a nice, a great digital artist.
Yeah.
Who then was doing stuff with Art Block.
Or he was about to.
Or was about to, this cocksucker.
And but yo, imagine if we would have bought that shit and would have done the same exact thing that we did for all the other DAO NFTs. Like, oh, we are up 3x from 5 ETH. So we just made 10 ETH. Let's just keep going for 30, you know. And he would be like hated in the community right now.
Oh.
So he saved himself. He stop lost himself from a world of pain for sure.
I saw somebody had a great tweet, and man, if I would have did what they said, I would have been in such great shape. But they said, if it's good enough to take a screenshot of, it's good enough to take profits.
Yeah.
So like all the times I screenshotted my account, or I screenshotted a PFP that I liked, other than the groupies, which never took off. If I would have bought at any of those things, or sold any of those things, any of my screenshot times, I got out of trades. I mean, trades is probably the best example, right? I screenshotted so many trades up 800%, and then fucking you fall asleep and you wake up and you're down 300. It's like, yeah. So that's my parting message. If you see something and you've made enough where you want to screenshot it and send it to somebody, mm-hmm. it's probably time to get out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. When I was in the prime last year, and the little bit of the year before that, when I started leverage trading, or it was mostly just last year, I would definitely put screenshots up. We're leverage trading. I was always taking profits. As I took that screenshot, I was like, I'm taking profit here. We up right now. And I would still hold on to that shit, which is, I definitely learned that lesson, I think, this time. But a lot of the times with the DeFi stuff or NFT stuff, yeah, definitely should have taken profits every screenshot I did for coins or NFTs that I was holding.
And before we wrap, I want to shout out one of our crypto bros, Jamal Boykin. He's having a boy.
Congrats.
Congrats, a baby Jamal. Boy. Having another crypto bro.
Yeah.
Bring another one into the world.
Oh, that kid's about to be fucking in the Citadel for sure. He's set up.
So yeah. So congrats to him, man. Went and hung out with him and his people last weekend in Long Beach at the park, and they made the announcement. So that was really dope. So yeah, just wanted to make sure, you know, showed him some love on the pod.
Congratulations, Jamal.
No. Any parting thoughts, fellas, on the market and what's to come? What's to bear from the bear of Barrington?
Brother.
Rest in peace, grandma, and I gotta start it off with that.
Oh man, sorry to hear that.
Rest in peace.
Family matriarch.
Yeah.
Rest.
I'm sorry to hear that, brother.
Last Thursday. It was her time, man. She lived a good life.
Yeah.
You know, this is how she wanted to go out. So we're honoring her the way that she wants to be honored.
Yeah.
But nah, man, Barrington, I mean, I still see it. Elmer Fudd, I still see more down coming. You know, I do. I see more down, but there's opportunity when it goes down. I'm actually looking forward maybe to another ETH dip. I'm definitely topping up.
Yeah.
Feel me? I'm definitely topping up. So it's like, I don't want to be like, I'm watching the big boy. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
watch the big boy.
It's true.
All right, well, we'll let that be our parting message. Till next week. For Chris Epps, Mike McGoy, I'm Jason Madison. We're the Crypto Bros, and we out of here. Peace.